Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? How's everything been?
I'm great. We just finished recording the end of the episode with Camille Kostick. She was great. So if you guys listen to the end, she's going to play some Red Flag or Deal Breaker with us. She was a great guest.
She was so fantastic. And for anyone listening, you know, Camille was the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model. And also, like, I've kind of know her through Twitter because she, like, was a Patriots cheerleader and she started dating Gronkowski. And she just seems real cool and nice. And she tells the story about how she met Rob Gronkowski. And I think a lot of that, like, kind of relates to, you might be sitting here thinking, well, I'm not a swimsuit model. What are they going to tell me about dating? She was great.
She's like the worst, best kind of person. Cause it's like, not only are you like super hot, but you're really nice and sweet and you do charity and like, there's nothing I can like, usually like I like when they're like hot and then they're like kind of bitchy. I'm like, okay, like I get, you know, she's got it all.
She's got it all. So, I mean, we're sitting here like, you know, blushing. We're like, oh my God, Camille, we come on anytime. Open door policy, you know?
So totally. Like, so listen to the end. She'll be on the end. It was great. I personally having, a good week getting more used to my braces. I've discovered that I can totally control them normally when I'm my voice better when I'm sober. And then when I have a couple drinks, things start to take a turn. It comes out.
Well, for the listeners at home, Jordana and I and Mike all got together for a drink. We had in-person drinks. It was so nice to see you guys. And it was my first time really seeing you and Mike together, the dynamic. It was so much fun.
Really? I guess we haven't really, like, I feel like we've seen each other, like, after shows, but it's always been with a bunch of people. This was our first, like, and I hadn't seen you in, like, over a year in person, not in, like, via Zoom. And so it was awesome.
It's kind of wild when you have these reunions with people, and it really, I did walk away, and I was like, I feel good. It was like, and I think for people right now, you know, you're wondering, okay, what's the next step? Things are opening up. I don't know about going out. I don't know about my body and how I feel and how I look. But like, I'm just telling you right now, you go out and see a friend and you get drinks, you're gonna feel good. And I think, like, you know, of all else, we've kind of like, it's easy to do the, you know, the memeable tweet where it's like, no to human contact forever. You know, like that joke.
No, I totally agree.
You know, but then it's one of those things. It's like going for a workout. You're like, oh, I got to go out tonight. I don't know. I got to see these people. I'm not sure. It's been a while. Go. Go for the drinks. Go for the date you're not sure about. Go for the friend hang that you're like, I don't know about these people. You know, do it. And I'm not saying, but Jordana, I was excited to see you. You're not one of those people for me, but I'm saying I know that. That vibe is out there. So it really did feel good to see you guys.
Totally. What did you think about the dynamic since you said you've never
I love
really...
the dynamic. I love it. Like I thought it was great.
I don't
great.
Know what I'm in the dynamic, so I don't really know what the dynamic is almost.
The dynamic is I like that you you kind of like give Mike some shit. I like that you give him I felt that. Yeah, you guys like give a little nudge and it's all jokey and fun and great. And I was like watching a relationship blossom before my eyes. I was really enjoying it.
That's so beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, it was great. And the lisp does come out after a couple of drinks. I'll let everyone know at home. I can confirm that the lisp
is definitely
happening.
Worse. And I was telling you also like that someone had given me an edible and I don't really smoke the week before that. And I was just like, you could not. Inaudible, like you could not understand anything that I was saying. I like immediately regretted it. I like just was not speaking for like 2 hours, just silently going over everything in my head. So I won't be doing that again. But
when you do that, you get a fat
list.
Tongue. Well, I appreciate that. You get a fat tongue when you drink, when you do
any
type of edible.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Now it makes sense.
That's kind of how I feel. Yeah. I think that's part of it. But no, it was great. And I think like our experience as you know, friends and co-hosts, like I just want to make sure people, you know, I know people are getting excited, but there's people out there that are like, I don't know, you know, it's going to be weird to go out again. It won't be weird. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. You're going to be great. You know, I think people should be encouraged. So totally. Anything else going on at Betches that we should know about?
Nothing we haven't really talked about before. We've got our morning announcements podcast. We're looking for a bite-sized way to get in the news. Obviously, you've seen our rebrand by now. Mm-hmm. The At Betches podcast released its final episode of season one. You can listen to that. It's all 10 episodes if you want some Betches background. And obviously, like the Red Flag Deal Breaker game, I see you guys on Instagram. You're having so much fun with it. I love that. What about you? What do you have any shows coming up?
I have a lot coming up, and I want to let people know about it. New York, I've been doing shows around the city. Everyone's always like, where are you going to be? I don't put up my New York schedule, so if you are going to a comedy club in New York, just check the website of the club you're going to, and I might be there. That'd be fun. I'm going to do a weekend of shows in the fall at Gotham, so that is going to happen. But I have a fun announcement. It's already been announced at this point, but I'm coming to Chicago for a week of shows. And it's the 23rd of August through the 28th. And the first four nights are themed. It's going to be food, family, pop culture, dating, and relationships. So those theme shows, I'm basically challenging myself to do material that I might not have done. And, you know, and then the Friday, Saturday shows are going to be best of. Those will be like the hot set that's like, boom, 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 boom. I hope by that time. But I'm saying, you know, the other set's going to be a little bit looser and a little bit more like, you know, I'm going to throw some shit against the wall. So it's going to be at Zany Chicago. We already have sold out shows. So like they're already like moving.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So August 23rd through the 28th, come on out. It's on my website, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com. I'm also in Atlantic City. I'm also in Connecticut. I'm also... and in the fall, DC, Boston, Austin, all those places, and Dallas. So, but I would say to people, I got a comment that like pinged me a little bit. You know, when you get a comment and you're like, oh, that didn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
Someone commented, my friends don't listen to you up. Does anyone want to go with me? And I need people to know that bring the friends that don't listen to you up. I don't do shows for just the fans of this podcast. It's a live stand-up comedy. It's going to be, none of it's inside jokes. You're not going to be hearing about, you know, Jordana and I going for drinks with Mike. It's not going to be that. It's going to be a stand-up show. I'm a comedian that does this every night, and I take it very seriously when someone comes to a show. I go in there, guns blazing, with the goal of making your friends have to listen to this podcast because they loved the night so much. So, bring the group chat, bring the family. Yeah, mom and dad. I love a mom and dad at a show. That's so much fun to me. And again, different themes. And then Friday, Saturday is going to be the blowout, you know, the best of opportunity. But also in addition, The Bachelor's coming up. And
Bachelorette.
Shit's about to get real. The Bachelorette is coming up. And I now have to like, you know, I have to sequester myself and write.
It's busy
for
season.
It's your busy
tax
season.
Yeah.
If I was an accountant, I can't leave the house. This is my season. So that's coming up. So be on the lookout for all that stuff. But that's about it. And also, thank you for the nice messages from last week's episode. I do appreciate it. It's just want to say thank you. So let's get to the emails. You ready?
Let's do it. Okay. So the topic for today is there an appropriate way to ask someone out at their workplace?
Well, I mean, we get into this later in this episode where it's like if they're cute, then it's appropriate type of thing.
Right. Well, you know, it's like there's a very fine line between like adorable and harassment.
Totally.
Especially as it comes to as it pertains to like a workplace situation.
Totally. And also if it's like, you know, are you at the same workplace? Are you at their workplace? Are they at your work? I don't, you know,
right.
There's like a there's a whole bunch of different like combinations we can do. Is it a male approaching a female? Is it a female approaching totally. A man? Like,
well, it's even if you're thinking of like, I think my waitress, my waiter's cute. Like I want to, you know,
totally.
Approach them. I always find like with these situations generally, and we'll get into the email later. I feel like you want to give the person I think it's okay to shoot your shot in these situations, but you want to give the person like an ability to leave. You don't want yes. them to like, you want to create a situation where if they are not into it, it is least awkward for them as possible. So that means if you're hitting on your waitress,
yeah,
wait till the end when you're about to leave. If you want to like do that, don't do it in the beginning. And then she has to like come back
deal and, with you.
Right. Yeah. Or like give it like at the moment where they can reject you and move on.
No, I totally agree. You want to give a lot of side doors. You want every opportunity to escape, just like you're saying. And like, and also start at, they don't want to fucking deal with you. Start there. Let's not start at, oh, of course they want me. Like, and I think a lot of guys, they're, you know, maybe they come on strong and because it's like an ego thing. Like, I think when guys approach someone, it's like, you know, there's opportunity for butthurtness, like with a guy, like where, oh, you don't, you know, like we're ego bruise. And then he's just an asshole. Like that happens a lot with men. But you have to give, I kind of live by that motto for all of life. Like I like every time I'm asking someone for something, I give them 7 chances to not do that thing for me.
Right. Because that the worst feeling in the world is when someone's like, and I think you probably know this feeling because you probably experienced it before, and not just with like dating or anything else, but like when someone's asking you to do something that you don't want to do, and you are now put in a position where you feel like, I'm sort of trapped in this, in this.
Listen, so I'll give you a very specific story. And this is, you know, on this subject tangentially, but one time I did the Today Show. I did the Men Tell All and the Today Show. It was Hoda and Kathy Lee. And I'm on the panel of the, you know, there's the young single guy, there's the married guy, there's the divorce guy, and everyone gives advice, but it's a 5-minute segment. That means nothing. It's just, if anything, it's a good picture for my mom to share on Facebook, because it's not like I got like followers out of it. I don't get money. It's just an opportunity to be on TV.
It's a cool thing to say you did. Right.
Very cool thing. So this was years ago, and there was another comic who was like, how did you get on the Today Show? And I was like, well, this person saw me and passed around my email, and then the person asked me to come on. And then that comic goes, I would love to do that to promote my book. And I go, well, and at that point, I'm like, I feel lucky to have gotten this too. You know, like I'm not like friends with the person who booked me. Like I'm worried about me. And I said to the guy, I go, yeah, man, I can pass your information along. And if they get back to me, they get back to me. That was kind of the way I did it. And the way I said it is that to me is we're done with this interaction. I have made it so it is a one-way operation. I'll go to them.
Right.
And I'm lying. I'm not going to go to them. Okay. So like, like there's no,
and like, you shouldn't have to, that's like the whole, like the thing is like,
this is like a pleasant lie.
Yeah.
This is a lie that gets us, you know, because he's a nice enough guy. I'm telling you, for weeks he was messaging me. Hey man, do you hear back? You hear back? You hear back? You hear back? Do you want to just send me the email for me to get in touch? And I was like, how do you not get this? How are you right. that removed from getting this? And some people are. And I think the purpose of this podcast is to let people know, start being able to get it.
Right. You know, and like, also, like, it's respectful if you're asking something of someone, whether it's a date, an opportunity, an intro, something like that. Like,
sure.
It's a request that does not entitle you to a positive response. It's okay to ask, but like, yeah, you should okay. leave it there.
Listen, how many times... And back when we first met, did I text you a tweet?
Yeah.
That I was like, this looks betchy to me.
And sometimes it went up.
And sometimes it went up.
And sometimes it didn't.
It didn't. And that's okay. And I remember saying to people, I say this all the time with you guys. I'm always like, I love working with betches because it was always, love this, we're going to put it up. Or it was not for us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's nice to get that answer. I guess now I'm going against my own advice where I lied to the guy and didn't say no, but I would say that was always appreciative, but we always left it at, you know, the ask, and then right. It was over, and it was no offense taken.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's JUVEDERM.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I think we should go to the email. Let's see this situation.
Totally. Okay. Hi, J&J. Love the pod. I'll jump right in. I'm wondering if it's ever okay to ask someone out at their workplace. There is a receptionist slash assistant at my optometrist that I'm really attracted to, and I'd love to ask her out, but I'm not sure how it could be appropriate. She's just doing her job, and I don't want to put her on the spot like that. She works behind a desk and always has a coworker beside her, also working in the desk, so I have no idea how I could be subtle about it. Any advice you have is appreciated, whether it's inappropriate or if you can think of a way to make it not awkward and put her on the spot in front of her coworkers. I should add, I'm a woman. I know that makes the dynamic different, but I'd be curious your thoughts on the situation in all gender combinations. Sincerely, I'll be quote unquote seeing you.
I don't think she should go up to the receptionist and be like, now that I can see you, after the appointment,
right?
I would like to make you my pupil on a date. You know, I don't think that's like that's an uncomfortable,
that's a very straightforward, aggressive move. Yeah.
How would you want to be approached at work in this scenario?
I think I would be okay with someone like I kind of agree. It makes it awkward if it's like next to your coworker. So maybe I would like. But I mean, it's also hard to like really get away with not like how are you supposed to wait around the office to like wait until they're alone? So it is kind of a tricky one.
Hey, thanks for coming in today. Were you just right. hanging? Yeah, I'm going to read some magazines. I got some time to kill until you're alone.
And yeah. I mean, I like the idea of like a note. I do think a note is like a nice private sure. way if you wanted to like write your phone. I think this is the way I would do it. I would write my phone number on a note and say like, hey, like think you're kind of cute or pretty cute, whatever. Like would love to grab coffee or dinner sometime. Call me if you're interested. Give them the note as you're leaving. And then, I mean, also it's an optometrist, so you're not there like every day. So it's not that
sure.
weird. And then you totally put it in their court. Let them, if they're interested, they'll call you. If they're not, totally drop it and let it go.
Game over. Mm-hmm. They have your number. They can reach out to you. Don't get into this game of like, did she read the seven right?
Right.
I make sevens differently. Yeah. Like, don't, you know, let's hang on the reality of this didn't work out. I'm with you. Ball in their court. Note. Hey, think you're cute. Just wanted to leave my number. Would love to get coffee or drinks. It's totally, I totally agree with that strategy. I mean, there, it's one of these things with like advice when you hear a situation, like the worst advice givers in the world do the thing where they're like, well, say to her, I've really enjoyed our interaction and let's go for a date. And it's like, that's not what people generally feel good doing. Like that takes right. a special type of person to have that
some people,
confidence
yeah.
and ability. Some people have it.
Some people have it. Most people don't, or most people execute it very weirdly. I mean, and like, I think most of the time the person, regardless of whether they're interested or not, is like kind of flattered a lot.
Absolutely. A lot. I would, yeah.
Totally. She could be seeing someone. I mean, like, and the thing is, it kind of like takes away the personal aspect of it. Like you give them the note. If they're seeing someone, if they're not interested, they just don't message you.
Act
and it's like
it.
Very low yeah. confrontation.
Here's what I wouldn't do in this scenario, if I can bring this up.
Sure.
I think the Instagram DM side door is reserved for different situations than this. I think the optometrist assistant is so far down the line of like you having to search them out that not doing it in person with the note is a little bit, I'm being watched by someone. Oh, now they found me.
Right.
I don't.
They found me at my place of work.
Exactly. Right. They found, like literally, I never make any conversation with them. And then they found out my first and last name, which everyone listening to this podcast has the ability to do, whether you want to admit it or not. So I think it's different with like someone at work where you've exchanged Instagram or they found you because they have more of your information. This is like so down the line of how much information you could have that it's like, I think there's a little too much, you know, like we joke about a very not jokeable item of this stalker thing. Like,
right.
you know, like give me the name and then I'll put on the glasses and get in the computer and I'll find them in 5 minutes. Like that is funny because we've all done a version of this, but it's also like, it's a little annoying, I think. I think in this scenario, it's too far.
Yeah.
That's the gray, you know, the gray line.
And it also, like, takes that person out of having to feel obligated to, like, be polite and answer you and then create, like, an ongoing conversation that isn't actually going anywhere. Like, this is, like, I think when, in this situation where it's, like, sort of a professional setting, just, like, be straightforward. And then, again, like, if you have a note, a physical note, the person doesn't feel like they have to, like, text you at all if they
sure.
you know what I mean, they're not like
where you just leave it,
whereas if you get a DM the person's like, oh, this is like a patient, I now feel like if I don't answer, is that rude, are they going to come in, am I going to see them again?
You have to treat it like an Airbnb that you're leaving. Once you leave the door, you know, the door locks behind you and you can't get back in.
Yeah. Totally.
So let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP@Betches.com. And listen, people, share this podcast. Now is the time for you up. Long car rides, summertime coming up. It is the season. A lot of confusion, COVID, things changing, people looking to meet people, breakups, new relationships. This is it.
It's uncuffing season.
This is the time season. Of year for us. To some. Hi, J&J. Thanks so much for keeping this married lady sane during COVID. This sex story usually gets some laughs when I tell my friends, so I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. I like the way she set it up. It was very, sometimes someone's like, this is the funniest story in the entire fucking world, and you can't wait till you start pissing out of your eyes. And we're like, okay, we'll see. I like that she was like, some people like it. Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
I had been dating my long-term college boyfriend for about 6 months when we decided to get frisky at his house. He shared with four roommates. Let me preface this story with, the house was horrendous, completely disgusting college party pad. Anyway, so before we get to the rest of this email, what's the most disgusting party pad that you've ever slept in, Jordana?
Probably like a frat house, like basement air mattress or something.
Basement?
Yeah.
So maybe just air mattresses out on the floor of a basement?
Yeah. Have you ever been like, especially during one of those weeks in like in college when like everyone's visiting? It's like a big yeah. event, you know what I mean? Like in Cornell, we had Slope Day, or there's sure. like one of those things where like everyone's friends come to visit that week. So there's just like people are just finding a place to sleep like wherever they
anywhere,
can possibly find
can
it. Yeah.
That.
So that would be like the most disgusting week, I think, to probably find a place
See, I realized in college, until I got to college, I never realized how high end I am. I really like
how fancy you are.
Like, I'm a little fancy. I mean, there's one story when
I would
went
actually
abroad,
say you are like kind of fancy.
I'm definitely not easy when it comes to the. I have a lot of complaints. Like, I will stay in a gross place, but then I'll complain about it the whole way. And now I've even. With hotels, when I go on the road, I get the buyout. Like, I won't even stay at the hotel the comedy club books for me. I'm like, I'll find this stuff.
Take the
like,
money I'd rather and run. Pay, yeah.
Take the money and run. So I mean, I realized that when I was abroad, I remember we went to Amsterdam and everyone was like, yeah, we're going to stay at a hostel. We're going to stay at a hostel. And then I got high. And 5 seconds after getting high, I saw the sign for the Marriott. And I was like, no, well,
that
I was
the
like, good
place
luck.
To stay. And that's funny. I know exactly what you're, they had the great pillow situation everyone would talk about.
Amazing. It was like, I was like, there's no way. I was like, you know that episode of Survivor where they like get the hotel stay or something? Like, there's one of the prizes is like a shower in the hotel. I felt like one of the Survivor contestants. I was like, finally, I can get a shower and a good pillow and a hot meal.
It's also funny because I feel like obviously there's nothing to do with dating, but going abroad really showed you like who was like more down to earth and down to rough it and like who like could not survive without their parents' money. Or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was with a group of people who were like way fancier than me, and I was like, I booked us a hostel in Dublin, and it's okay, but we're staying with like three other random Australians, and they were like, no, we are not. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, I'm those friends.
Yes,
I am. There's no way. I'd be like three other Australians.
Backpackers who might steal all our shit and murder you.
It was always funny to find out who those people were because then people confide in you and they're like, "Can you believe this person?" And it's like
the pores. It's like tell your dad to get a better job. You know.
You're being ridiculous. I'm definitely, and even when I look for fraternities, like I remember there was one fraternity that I almost joined that had. Beds that were chained to the ceiling. They like literally had, like they were
saw?
Like bird's nests. My fraternity was known for like being nicer, but then like I thought it was nice, and then my parents came. My mom was like, "This is insanity!" Like she couldn't like deal with like a fraternity house. But then we had queen size bunk beds, and one semester.
That's interesting. Oh, you told
my
me
friends and I think I've have I told you this before?
I just remember hearing something about a queen size bunk bed, but I don't remember the story.
Queen size wooden bunk beds, and one semester, my friends and I decided to live in one room together. So we had four beds in one room, and we called it Bunkzilla. And that was like our, and then the other room that we like cleared out was our living space. So we
Bunkzilla.
Had like, it was Bunkzilla with all the beds, and then the living space was room six, but we called it 6A because it was a better six. And there was one night that legitimately we all like had dates for like formal, and like everyone just like you just had eight people in one room just hanging, and it's like it's funny, and like now I think about it, I'm like that's insane.
Like shacking, I think they used to call that or something.
So it's like shacking. And now it's like now as an adult I'm like fucking eight people in one room, and then I'm like we just thought it was funny, like we're like we did like the you know, the Lost Boys, like, good night, Neverland. You know, like.
Peter Pan, I love that.
That's right, yeah.
That's
okay, so
great.
Let's get back to the story. Anyway, I guess that didn't deter 20-year-old me from wanting to get busy. We were having sex, and he was behind me, and it was great. We were both. I love that this woman is married, I'm assuming to a different person, and she's like. This married woman. Then she's like, oh, my long-term college boyfriend. So he's like, I imagine her telling her story to her husband. So he's behind me. It's great.
very hot.
Yeah, very hot. Oh, the best. We were both super into it when all of a sudden he puts his hands over my eyes. I was a little weirded out, but I went with it thinking he was trying to be kinky. He turned in multiple positions, all with his hands covering my eyes. This is a little bizarre, right?
Yeah. But it's her boyfriend. Right?
It's her boyfriend, okay. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, here we got the,
right. I'd be
the
like
peekaboo.
I'd be a little more open to if I'm like seriously dating the person. I'm like, okay, he's doing something different.
Going for it. Yeah. At one point, I get over this and decide to take control. I jump on top of him, cowgirl style. Yeehaw. That's me saying that, not her. I was going wild when all of a sudden an enormous cockroach, like 2 inches long with wings, runs across his chest as I'm just starting to come.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
It'd be like fight or flight. You'd be unsure of what...
Well, needless to say, I ejected myself off his body. We have a flight here. And cowered in the corner. He had to hunt and kill the roach still erect.
Wow.
That is funny. He starts slapping.
That's motivating.
After the murder, he wanted to finish the sex, but shockingly, the mood was gone. That's so male to be like, okay, it's gone. Like,
right.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Put out the fire.
Yeah, I asked him later why he was covering my eyes, and he said that the roach was literally 6 inches from my face when he was behind me, but he didn't want to ruin the moment. Classy,
oh my
she
God.
Writes in parentheses. I thought he was trying to break out some new moves when really it was just because he didn't want the cockroach to cock block him. We continued to date for 3 more years and never dabbled with voyeurism again. Hope this gives you some laughs. Kink Roach. I love that name, Kink Roach.
Kink Roach is perfect, yeah.
This is a great story. It's very college. Anyone can understand this who has spent the night at a fraternity basement or Bunkzilla. Jordan, do you have names for this?
I call it the cock block roach.
Love that.
What do you have?
I got bugging out, a bug's life.
Nice.
What's bugging you? Itsy bitsy cock block. Creepy crawler crusher.
Okay.
No, creepy crawler crasher. That's what I had.
I like that. Bug's Life. Great movie.
Great movie. Red flag or deal breaker? Are you going back for more?
If I'm 20?
Are you sleeping? If you're 20, are you sleeping at his place?
If I'm 20, it's just a red flag. I think I'll get over it. On top of that, I actually kind of like appreciate the gesture a little bit. I actually think this is a guy who might be a good dad. You know, he's like, he's almost like protecting you from like seeing something that might harm you. Like, I'm just imagining like a dad putting his like hot fingers over your eyes so you don't see like, you know, something that would upset you.
It's like Vince Vaughn in Old School. What he goes,
earmuffs. Yeah.
Yeah. This is.
I'm kind of like,
I mask. There's a cockroach. I mask.
You know what I mean? It does seem a little bit like it'd be like hot. To me. It's like hot that he would be like, what? I mean, obviously it's for himself too, but
it is thoughtful. And it's like, and it also goes to the idea of like men getting off versus women getting off. He literally could keep a boner while caring for your vision line. To, you know, like there's like there is some niceness to that. I'm trying to think if a woman started covering my eyes during sex, I would assume the same exact thing as this woman. Like, I'm like, what's gonna happen next?
Is exciting.
This is gonna get crazy. And then it's just a cockroach. I'd be like, you know, like,
wait, would a cockroach stop you from doing what you need to do?
So at 20, no, it wouldn't stop me. At 20, again, I'd think the same as you. I would still sleep at the place. I wouldn't be like, you know, turned away. At 36, if I, but New York City, we have cockroach.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like the
what
most
if it was like
thing.
A big fat subway rat running across the floor?
I'm not going back to their place.
Yeah.
The rat, I'm not like a, look at that rat. Like, I can look at a rat, but I just.
In your bedroom? Yeah, that would
the
be
bedroom
haunting.
And listen, we see rats in New York City do some wild things. I saw one climbing a wall the other day, and I was like, they can do that? Like, I was like, I thought I was safe on the fourth floor, you know?
Yeah, I flinch a little when I see one even in the street. I think in a bedroom, I would be like, if this is over.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's do an email.
Let's do it.
Hey, J&J, huge fan of the pod, Feather Feather. I'll skip the pleasantries and cut to the chase. I recently moved to a new city, leaving behind my boyfriend of about a year. Honestly, some might think I pulled a bitch move because I straight up decided, like 6 months into dating, when the relationship was still fresh, that I really wanted to move away to this new city because the old one did not feel like a permanent home to me or somewhere I wanted to put down roots, and quarantine seemed like a perfect time to make the move. I probably should have realized that before getting myself into a relationship with someone I actually really like, but oh well, here we are dating long distance now. I wanted to write to you because I wanted to see if you think my feelings about the long distance are a red flag or maybe a healthy thing, or if some people are just weird and wired like me. You see, honestly, I've loved the first couple of months of long distance. I love that I spend all weekends hanging out with my friends, nurturing new social life, and I've never lived alone, so I'm loving the peace and quiet of a single bedroom apartment. I don't regret moving by myself one bit because I didn't have anyone to lean on as a crutch, which has made me branch out socially. Basically, I'm living the single life without hooking up or talking to other guys, and I still have my boyfriend there on the other end of the phone for emotional support at arm's length. So my questions for you are, is this a warning sign for my relationship that I enjoy being on my own so much? Does this speak to my own capability of being in a long-term committed relationship, or do you think my personality, which currently requires and enjoys a lot of space and freedom, and honestly, some selfishness. I mean, I'm 26. Now is my time to be a little selfish. Is capable of nurturing this relationship into something permanent if you were to ever move out here to the same city? I'm not sure if this is just who I am and the type of love and relationship I like, or if I'm supposed to hold out for some magical man who will make me want to spend every waking minute with him. I'm ready for you to psychoanalyze me, please, and thanks. Thanks for doing God's work. Sincerely, the Space Cadet.
This is an interesting email because she's kind of asking for us to like tell her what to do, mm-hmm. which we can't do. Like I think she wrote a lot of reasonable things. Like I like her because of the email that she wrote.
Yeah.
But it's like, we can't, like, there's the biggest thing is like, what does she want for her life? Like, you know, like, and she does a couple things. Sometimes the answer's in the email. She does a couple things that kind of speak to me. She says the whole thing about like getting, you know, like she has someone to call when she needs emotional support. Like, that's a version of using someone if you don't see this going anywhere. Or in, but if the person right. you're dating doesn't want to go anywhere, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, this is a very specific to your match. But then she also writes every waking minute. And when someone writes that, she writes, or if I'm supposed to hold out for some magical man who will make me want to spend every waking minute with him. To me, that's a version of comparing that you're doing. Like, mm-hmm. She's basically saying, like, well, I notice other relationships, my friends spend every minute with their boyfriend. And that's how they know. It's like, that doesn't have to be your road towards knowing.
Totally.
I don't think. Like, I think, like, so it's like this weird like middle ground of like, listen, you don't have to want to spend every waking minute with someone, but you know, what do you want? If you're just, if you're just like, I don't know what I want. And then you're forcing someone to be involved in something where you don't know, but at least they pick you up when you're down. Like, it doesn't feel like a two-way relationship.
Yeah. I think it's hard to say like what's normal, what's not normal. Like, well, how should I be? Or how shouldn't I be in this relationship? How, like, right,
sure.
What's the best way to be? I think the only thing you can really look at is, am I happy with the setup I'm in now? Am I having a good time? Do I really like it? Her answer is yes, right? Whether that's okay for the other person is a different story. If the person seems to be enjoying it too, I see no problem with this arrangement. Mm. You can have people who want different things than the usual in a relationship, but if it works for both of them, that's great. It's only really when it doesn't work for one person that the other person is forced to confront like how much they're willing to change or if they would be happier with a different setup. But I think if she's happy doing this, if she seems like fulfilled and the other person seems like down for whatever she's doing, I don't really see what the issue is.
Sure. I'm with you. Like, that. Yeah. If you're happy, then what's to lose? Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, what do you think of the idea of like she's dating this person because the arrangement is good? Like, starting a relationship on an arrangement. Like, I think a lot of guys do this where they're like, oh, okay, she, you know, and listen, I think I've made the mistake in the past where you go, okay, this person is this age and at this place of life, and that's part of the reason that I'm very comfortable in this situation. Mm-hmm. It's like, at that point, you're not really dating the person. You're really just dating the situation. Like, there's an element of that in this where she's like, I got my home front. I got my new town where I get to be single. Right. And I got my boyfriend back home whenever I need him. It's like, if that's the number one reason you like him, then you don't like him. You like the situation.
Yeah. But I think, like, I agree with that. But I think a lot of dating is about the situation and the timing and the sure. person that works best for, like, where you want to be in a certain area of your life. So, again, I kind of feel like if to the other person, they're enjoying whatever that situation is, too, like, I don't think you have to force yourself to be in something more conventional just because it seems like everyone else is in it. Like, if you like this setup, then, like, and the other person does, too, like, I don't see the issue. But I see what you're saying about, like, she's not dating him for the person. But sometimes maybe in life, like, that's a setup that works for you. You don't always have to be dating to like find your soulmate and for the person you feel like you're most compatible with. It's when the other person's expectations are different and they don't voice them that I think this becomes more of an issue. So like if the other person is expecting that he's going to move there and she's going to be like all about him 24/7 and you know, they're going to get married and they're this perfect match. I think that's, it's also up to the other person to voice what they want out of the relationship too, to find out if you're going to work or not.
It's interesting that this conversation is actually like more applicable, but we never have it. Like, because of the distance, she's like put in a position to look at this. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But if it was like two, let's say the situation is two people that are like hooking up and the guy goes, I'm happy. This is what I want. We hook up whenever we hook up. And then then that's it, you know, and the other person, you know, is, because of the distance, there's no expectation of like, well, what's next? Like, it kind of holds you back from what's next. Like,
right.
This, if they were in the same city and he was, and the guy or girl in that situation was going, well, you know, I'm just looking, this is what makes me happy. You and I hanging out at 11 p.m. once a week.
Right. Well, like that's why it's up to the other person, whether it's the guy or the girl, to say like, this situation isn't working for me. Or this, or if they're not, if they don't, if they're not looking to just hook up at 11 p.m. on a Friday either, I think you, like, it's annoying because it does seem like, well, why is it on me to like say something that should be obvious if we're hanging out so often? But I do think there's a sense of like, we have to be empowered to ask for what we want so we can find out sooner rather than later if the other person is like down for what we want. I think that's the big mistake that I used to make when dating that a lot of people that I see still make. It's like they're so scared of that answer that they just continue like doing what's working for the other person, just thinking that eventually it'll evolve, but they're not saying what their needs are and what they want. So it goes on for longer than it should.
Yeah, I think like with distance, the communication is kind of built into it. And with the situation that we're talking about right now, there's a lot more assumptions. You're like, well, you're right. In the same city and we hang
of
out
course,
once a
why
week.
Wouldn't
why
we be
wouldn't
dating?
You want to hang out twice a week? Yeah. So I think like for this person, you need to let the person know, I am super happy with this situation right now. Like, I think that's an okay. I think that's like an honest way to go where you go, hey, I just want to let you know I'm happy with what we're doing. I'm happy I'm going to see you in a month. I'm happy that we have our phone calls that we have. I'm actually really happy that I'm kind of making a life here. I just want to let you know that. And that's kind of that other person's opportunity to go, well, I'm not happy, or
I'm okay with this for now, but I'm looking to change this in the future even.
Totally. Like, and I think, you know, it's interesting when it's a woman writing in about this situation. Like, if a man wrote in, I don't know how I would feel. Like, I would be like, unfairly, we'd make the assumption that the other person isn't happy. And that's the unfair assumption.
Right. And I think that's why your advice is very good, to like tell the other person, no matter what the gender is. Like, it's funny because when you say that, like, I'm thinking about it as a woman, I'm like, oh, of course you'd be cool with that. Like, if you told him you're happy with it. But I do think if it was a man, if it was a man writing in, I'd be like, this feels deceptive.
Fishy. Yeah.
There is like a double standard thing there. So I think your advice is great. Like, no matter who it is, just tell the other person, open that conversation, give them the opportunity to like say they also like it or they don't. And like, you can have a real conversation, because especially if she's feeling any sort of like guilt, which it sort of seems like she is because she's writing in, or like unsure if this is okay. To me, it's like she's kind of unsure if he's okay with that or if she's being selfish. But if she brings it up and he's like, yeah, this is working for me too, that'll help her either way.
Yeah, absolutely. You ready to play some games?
Let's do it. We'll bring on our special guest.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Okay, people, welcome back to the UUP Podcast. We have a very special guest today. She is a part of one of my favorite shows. It's one of the shows that late at night, it's on. They do some repeats, but now they got brand new ones out. And I 1 minute becomes the whole episode every time. She's one of the hosts of Wipeout that's on Thursday nights on TBS at 9 o'clock. Camille Kostick, thank you for coming on.
Woo-hoo! Thank you. What an introduction. Wipeout is back, baby.
Wipeout is back. We're pumped about that.
I'm just as pumped because I found out that I had a job in the middle of 2020, in the middle of a pandemic, and I was ready to travel and get on the road and talk to people and did I know that I was going to sit front row and have like my dream job in that moment, in that year? No. So, I mean, it came, I was so excited. I actually called my sister to tell her that I was going to be on Wipeout, and she asked me who my partner was going to be. So she didn't even know I was going to do a hosting job. So I was going to run the course.
That's so funny. Wait, so for anyone at home who hasn't seen the show before, can you explain briefly like what it is and when the season starts, everything?
Yeah, it's on right now. So you could tune in on we're not even halfway through the season. So if you haven't tuned in, I mean, this show started back in 2008. So we're bringing it back, just new hosts. It's myself, Nicole Byer, John Cena, a bunch of, you know, great personalities, if you ask me, just coming together to bring some laughter to your homes. But the show is an obstacle course competition to the extreme. It's absolutely outrageous. And then the best part is I get to talk to everybody about why they're on the show. So we really get to know the contestants. And honestly, the quirkier, the better. And I'm front row in the action to tell you their story.
Let me just tell everyone, I want to pump your tires even more because I'm a huge Camille Kostick fan. Uh-huh. I'm a huge Nicole Byer fan, and John Cena, I am also so I've now met two out of the three hosts of the show. I've never met John Cena, but I've always enjoyed watching him on TV. But this show, and I say it about our podcast, it is the perfect put your brain on the shelf show. Mm-hmm. Take it, and you get to watch people go through these crazy courses. And I would say to everyone listening right now, just go to your TV, hit the DVR button, and have them waiting for you. Like a nice little treat. Whenever you're in times of stress or whatever it is, it's that perfect show for that moment. If I can sell it for you in a way that I would want to be sold,
thank
Camille.
You. That is so true. And I think what the best part about it all is, I love that every Thursday, you know, feel very lucky that we're back to travel mode again. But Rob and I were in Buffalo, New York the other week. And then I was in Atlantic City doing stuff with Sports Illustrated Swimsuit. And like, I was able to watch the show with the girls. And then I was able to watch the show with our little niece and nephews who are like 6, 2, 4. And I was able to watch it with Rob's parents. And I was able to watch it with his brothers. You know, like it's all ages. It's like, it. You just watch. You don't even have to understand the English language to enjoy the show. Everyone's falling down and getting back up. Funny.
I love it. I'm a huge fan of the show. I'm a huge fan of you guys. But you mentioned Rob. To those who don't know, you're dating Rob Gronkowski, which I told you before we started taping, I am jealous. I am the biggest Rob Gronkowski fan. I'm a Patriots fan. I'm from outside of Boston. Mm-hmm. I mean, I told you I have a poster of Tom Brady hanging in my bathroom wall. So like,
we didn't determine if it's above your toilet, so that you're making eye contact.
I'm making eye contact while I'm sorry for being crude, while I'm pooping. I am just staring and yeah. It's right there.
So the ladies that come over can enjoy too.
It's for everyone. We're a gender neutral household. Right.
Watch out, Camille, though. He might have his eye on your man.
What has to happen for you to switch it to Gronkowski?
Well, he'd have to win a few more Super Bowls for the Patriots, but then that might be tough right now. But listen, how do you guys meet? Like, how does Camille Kostick meet Rob? Like, is this like, you guys are celebrities. You're both celebrities in your own right. You're both like in these, like, I'm assuming, you know, we, Jordan and I, we're not at parties. We're not like these hip people. I'm not. I won't speak for Jordana. But like, how do you meet? What's the process? Is it like a dating app?
I'm actually really happy that the beginning of my love story is not the classic we slid in the DMs or like dating apps. And you know, all for that. Like to each their own. But very happy that we actually met doing community service together. So I was a patient.
Shut up. Come on. You can't be a supermodel and a professional athlete doing good and finding love.
I made that up. Okay. Like I so listen, so I just got out of a break. I just got out of a relationship of like 4 years. It was really sad the way that it ended. And like this always happens in relationships. It's when you least expect it is when you're going to be like, I swear it's like you go to that dreaded, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something like you really don't want to go out that night. You really want to Netflix and chill, but you go out and it's that little will, that push to go from your friend or whatever. that you end up meeting like somebody, or you go and you walk your dog and it's at the dog park. You know, like it was that moment for
sure.
me. I was the reason I had actually signed up, you know, love giving back, but it was Thanksgiving break. That's the time you go home. They always say that the Wednesday night is like the night, you know, the home, the town together, you know, you go out. So I didn't even want to do any of that because I was in such a bad state of mind that I didn't even want to hang out. I didn't want to talk about the breakup. I didn't want to run into anybody. Like I just didn't. And so I was a past cheerleader. I told my coach, listen, I mean, I didn't even want to go home for Thanksgiving. I didn't want to see like my extended family to talk about it. Cause they loved, you know, they loved our love. And I just, I remember being like, I want to sign up for every and all, act of like community service. Like I want to give back. That's the only thing that's going to make me feel better right now. And, it was as if I was like rewarded for that because I signed up. It was like the night before Thanksgiving and we were putting together some turkey baskets for the less fortunate. And I was one of the cheerleaders that had signed up. Rob was one of the athletes that signed up. And we just kept like passing each other as we were doing this. And I just remember like making eye contact with a bunch of times. And I didn't think anything of it. So I was like, he probably looks at the cheerleaders all the time. And, I was just like, wow, he's like really cute. And I got to, eavesdrop in on a conversation he was having with, you know, all the media and the press is in his face. And he was just talking about how much he loves working with the kids and how he loves doing things like this, especially around the holidays. And I was just like, it like struck a chord in my heart. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's a hunk and he's so sweet and charitable. You know, like I was just like, what? Wow. Dreamy. And, but I didn't think anything of it. So,
I mean, not to interrupt, but what else was he going to say on TV? Ah, fuck these kids. Right. I don't think.
I'm here for the picks.
Yeah. No, but I agree with you. Yeah. I can understand.
No, I mean, and I could say, you know, it's now been 8 years since we first started hanging out that, you know, he really is like, he is that guy, like day in and day out.
So we had an email at the beginning of this episode that dealt with how do you approach someone in that situation? Like, first of all, I love the advice that is in your story of like, if you're in a breakup, do some community service.
I love that.
What
yeah.
a way, what a way to feel better and what a way to get out of your box.
For you like makes you, I mean, it's so true. Like as soon as you start to focus on other things rather than that low vibrational energy bullshit, like, and you shift to like, whether it's giving back, whether it's working out, whether it's taking a walk or going to bike ride, you'll probably in time run into somebody at the grocery store or doing things where you were really doing you or regular activities. So I always say like, just always be prepared. Like just because it's that time at the store or in the parking lot or the gas station that you're like, who dat? And you're like, oh my God, I didn't right. prepare today. But you know what? Maybe you'll meet your love like that because they love you no matter what.
And I feel like volunteering in particular is like, it gives you a little perspective. So if you're feeling like, pretty shitty about like a breakup, you're like, oh, like, although I'm feeling shitty, like I'm very lucky also for everything that I have. So I think it probably helps in that way if you're definitely. In that state.
That's exactly why I wanted to do it. That's right there. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, everyone wasn't fortunate enough to go home to a hot meal. And I was, you know, even just getting to do that, but immediately it shifted the state of mind that I was in. It shifted like the energy I was attracting. And you know, I happen to attract an extremely hunky man. There is no.
Oh, he's a hunk who scores so many touchdowns and wins Super Bowls. I could go on and on.
I could just grab him like a tree, but he ended up giving me his number through his "Hi, my name is Rob Gronkowski" sticker. His name's Hart. Shit. And Jermaine Wiggins gave it to me. One of the alumni.
Jermaine Wiggins. Oh my God. I'm like dying here from East Boston.
Yeah. So Jermaine, so Rob didn't even approach me. I didn't approach him because you're not allowed to do that. I was a rookie following the rules. So here's what's funny. Rob said, go have Camille write her number on that Patriots cheerleader poster. Like go ask for the poster and tell her to write her number on it for me. So he comes up to me and he's like, listen, can you sign this poster? This is Jermaine. He's like, Rob's already in the car, like ready to leave. I had my tracksuit on, like ready to leave. And he was like, listen, this is like for a friend of mine, whatever. Can you like sign it? And I'm like, yeah, that's what my job is. So he's like, okay, can you put your number on the back? And I was like, confused. I was like, wait, what? And he was like, no, it's for Gronk. It's for Rob. And I was like, oh, I'm not allowed to do that. I'm so sorry. And he was like, okay, he had a feeling you were a goody two shoes and followed the rules. So he like pulled out this crinkled up name tag and on the back it said, shh, with his phone number. And that was how I just held on to him. I was ready to call him.
I love that. So romantic. He really thought through the whole thing.
He knew I was a rule follower. I love it.
Wow. Listen, to those who like don't know Gronk, to me, that's even a surprise. Like, he doesn't seem like the type to like pick up on that type of like cue. Like, he picked up on a vibe. He knew how to like make sure you could make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really sweet. So I'm happy that that's our love story beginning. And it's not like, well, he hit on me at the party or in Vegas, you know, what people right. would think. So yeah.
It's more wholesome.
That was it.
This is amazing. We're so happy to have you, Camille Kostick. Everyone go stop, pause it right now. If you're near your TV, hit the DVR button. Thursday nights, 9:00, TBS. It's Wipeout, and it's a show that I love, and we're so happy Camille's here. And
so we're going to play these games. Before we get into it, I just want to know, just for the audience at home, and I feel like this is a good question for anyone who's in like a happy, healthy, long-term relationship. What is your like number one piece of dating advice that you would give to someone?
It's okay to have alone time. You don't have to be together at all times. I'm somebody who like loves that. And I mean, I think Rob and I are a little bit different in the sense that we have such demanding careers that like force us to have to be separated, in the sense that like I have to go to LA this weekend and he'll be back here and then I'll come back. And then, you know, 3 days from then we switch. So we're able to keep it like hot and heavy just because we're like separated. We're like, I miss you all the time. But listen, it wasn't put to the test in quarantine. And when you want your alone time, take it. Have it. Yeah. And honestly, it's super attractive. Like I said, that like do me mentality is so attractive for both sides. And then it just makes that time together a little bit better. And I feel like I am my best self and my truest self when I'm alone. And, you know, he brings out a side of me, good or bad, depending on, you know, what we're dealing with. But I really like always feel like I need to just like take a bath, close the door, be alone, put on, you know, meditation music, and just always have that time to myself.
I love that. I think it's great. I always say that about like keeping a little bit of mystery, making the person miss you a little bit.
You can walk by yourself. And then if you want to keep walking, come back and grab your partner. You know,
I love it. We got to make a shirt. The DMM, do me mentality. Yeah, I love that.
Love
me
it.
Mentality. I like that.
There we go. So let's play some games. You ready?
Let's play it. All right. You want to do the first one?
Send in yours. UUP@betches.com. I'll do the first one. Red flag or deal breaker. Ready? After staying over one time, they purchase your entire nighttime skincare regimen for you to use on your future visits. Context. I've been dating a guy I met on Bumble for about 3 weeks. I stayed over at his place for the first time and everything was going well. We made plans to hang out later that week. In a later text conversation, I brought up how I was big into a certain skincare brand I found on TikTok and sent him the attached picture as evidence. When it came time to hang out again, he sent me the following. It was super thoughtful, but it seems a bit intense. So we have the text exchange. So she sent a full, is this normal, Jordana, to have this much from one brand, right?
Yeah, I think if you're, people go through phases with skincare. I think if you're like into a brand, it's normal. You get all this stuff, right?
I mean, I already have my decision.
Okay, well, let's read the text before
she's like,
we
you
get
don't, I don't even need, see no more.
So I'll be him, you be her. Okay, ready?
Okay, great. Okay.
Nah, no worries. Let's find a bench this time. And nope, just to the NQRW. So he's giving Subways.
KK Perf.
And then he sends a picture of brand new skincare items. And he writes, oh, also, you have all of these here now. So shruggy emoji.
So he basically, he bought all of her skincare favorites and put them in his bathroom.
Okay, after one time of hanging out.
They've been dating for 3 weeks, she says. Oh. She stayed over at his place the first time and everything was going well.
So that's one time. I think this is
Okay. Well, she sent a picture of it in the first place. So he wanted with it and here's the thing. This is one of those situations where it's like, are we raising red flags for a guy being a nice guy? Like, I don't think it's creepy because, I mean, a lot of the times there's so many stories that's like, he goes to me, he's this. Okay, this guy got her skincare line. Like, let's give him a little pat on the back. Let's give him some credit. I would have been like, I mean, I'm the girl who likes to go for the chase sometimes. Like, let's be real, who doesn't? So I would be like, ooh, that was like too simple. Like, he already has a skincare routine. Right. And that's leading to like come over, stay over again, like the bathroom setup. Usually the guy's like, don't leave your toothbrush after the first, you know, like after the first five times to go over. After the first 5 months, maybe. But I mean, I wouldn't say this is a deal breaker. I just say it's a red flag.
I agree. It's like, it's if you're into them, it's cute. If you're not, it's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's the way he put it down is actually as good as he could do it when he writes, oh, also you have these here now. So ... shrugging. Like, it's kind of, if he had written, I did like the smell of your skin, yeah, so I made sure to get the good stuff. Like, that would have been creepy. Like, he did handle it. And I totally agree. Into him, hot. Not into him, creepy.
It's a little love bomby. It's a little bit love bombing, I think. But it's
I'm with you on that. It does like listen, if they work out, this becomes their turkeys on Thanksgiving story. Yeah. Like, the, you know, if they don't work out, it gets thrown in his face like, and you bought me the skincare stuff. How could you say you don't want to be in a serious relationship? You know, like, that's the that he's created his own bugaboo at this point.
Totally. And skincare is expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's got the good stuff. She's got that good skin.
Yeah.
All right. So I think I'm with you guys though. Red flag. But I think he's like created his own red flag. Like, it's like, he didn't even have to do this.
He like threw it in and shrugged it off because he was like, I'm a little embarrassed, but I bought it. So here.
Yeah. He should have prefaced it like that. Like, I don't want to seem like too much, but here's something that's
About you at Sephora.
Well, I mean, if anything, it's a nice gift bag on the way out. She's like, yeah, it didn't go well, but can I make sure to take, you know, the serums?
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, J&J, my friends insisted that I submit this to Red Flag or Deal Breaker. The person and I are both in our late 20s. I generally have my shit together, but this person's living situation is unconventional. He spends half his time with his parents and half in a condo downtown. His best friend does the same with the same condo, same bedroom, same bed. Two grown men, one bed. They don't plan or schedule ahead, so just go with the flow. And sometimes they both end up at the condo at the same time. When this happens, they either both sleep in the double bed together or one of them sleeps in the pillow pit. What is a pillow pit, you ask? It's a giant pile of IKEA pillows purchased in lieu of a couch. I've confirmed that the pillow covers in the pillow pit are regularly washed, but this whole situation is a bit absurd. So what do you think, J&J? A grown man who part-time shares a bedroom with his best friend in a condo with a pillow pit instead of a proper couch, red flag or deal breaker?
Okay.
Camille, what do you think?
I'm in my late 20s, so I just know personally that's a deal breaker for me. Like, I even when I didn't have my shit together, I had my own bedroom. You know, like, that was the nicest bedroom apartment? No, but I had my own, you know?
Sure.
I also think it's different for girls. I feel like girls, like, have shared rooms, being like in the model industry. I know a lot of my friends have had like model apartments where they're literally sharing bedrooms to like hustle and grind. Like, are they doing it because they're hustling and they just don't have like enough money? You know, like, I don't know. Like, they're doing between the parents and that. For me, I don't know. I kind of have, if I love a guy, like, I love a person and I'll deal with it. But if I'm like in the beginning stages of dating and I find this out, that's a total turn off for me. Like, I don't want to go to bed that someone else was just in, maybe with another girl, like with their friend was just there, or just have to sleep in the pillow pit. Or even if I'm not invited, knowing he's texting me from the pillow pit, it's just like a turn off.
It's a great point. Like, is it a means to an end, or is he just like a scrub?
He's a scrub. I think he's like, it rings very stepbrothers to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, like, to me, a lot of times you'll meet someone, and a lot of times it's women, where you're like, how's it going with the guy? And she's like, well, he shares an apartment part-time, and he's got a pillow pit, but we're planning on getting married in a year. It's like, no, you're being delusional. If you're looking, like, if this person is like, I like having fun, I'm looking to have fun, this is the perfect guy to have fun with. I think that's like,
he's, but if you're like, he's not the father of your children, though.
This is,
he ain't ready.
All that I know about him, because listen, I am like, I love love. I am like, oh my gosh, if that's, you know, their living situation. But at the same time, your living situation really has to do a lot with your personality too. So is he a fun time? Yeah. But is he probably a little bit disorganized? And I don't know, back and forth between the parents in a shared like one bedroom.
He's not definitely.
I agree. Late 20s and up. No, maybe if I'm like 21.
Honestly, I let it fly. That's fine. That's fine. I'd have fun with it. I'd just be happy to have a place to go outside of a parent's house or a college dorm. I'd be like, cool. But late 20s, this is no. No.
Yeah, he's just not going to be ready to like talk engagement. I mean, it's just anytime soon. Like anytime this is... soon. So yeah, I'm thinking if a woman was in the same situation, it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. I'd just be like, okay, good to know that you are just like, I would assume that this woman is the easiest to please in the entire world.
Very
like
you're
like,
well,
low maintenance. like, yeah, I actually have a bed frame. She's like, no pillow pit. Look at you killing it. You know,
you guys could do like a staycation at a hotel and stuff.
Yeah.
If the other girl's in town.
Let's really do one funny. More. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Red flag or deal breaker. He posts an Instagram picture of him at a fancy steakhouse with the caption, make no mistake, spelled steak. If it's pink and juicy, I'm eating it.
Oh my God. That made me laugh though.
See, this is one of those things where it's like, we're all hearing it sexually, but it isn't. He could kind of say it isn't sexual.
Why would you phrase it like that if it wasn't sexual, though?
I don't know. Like, this is like, it's like when you use the word moist, you know what you're doing. You know you're putting off people. Like, Camille, what do you think of this?
Okay, well, you're talking to a girl who is dating a giant man child, and so like, yeah, I feel like he wouldn't. He would not put up a caption like that. I feel like I could hear him not saying that specific line, but like having a play on words and like with sexual innuendos and stuff and me being like, that was funny. So it's not a deal breaker for me.
Camille, you couldn't say this is a deal breaker when I've watched multiple press conferences where Rob Gronkowski giggles at the number 69.
Exactly. That's my point. He would not. I'm not going to say never. Never say never.
Yeah, I don't think he posts this. He's smarter than that. But
the pink and juicy and eating it thing, like that, that's a little too much. But it's a red flag. It's a red flag. Like, it's just like, well, you know, he's funny. In a way, some people, I mean, some women find that.
But like, is he going to say that in front of your mom is my worry. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's my issue with the caption. If he'll say it there.
I mean, your mom's going to see the caption at least. So if she's got it.
That's true.
Well, my concern, if I'm a woman out there and it's like, if you've had past Instagram issues, if there's been a situation where your guy is like, you're like, is he DMing people? Is he? And he puts up something like this. This is, and I know this to you too. You just like squirmed when you heard it, but you did laugh.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a male version of what's it called?
Thirst trap.
Of a thirst trap. Because if someone reacts to this, all you need is one to go, oh, you know. So I think that's the one concern. But if I saw this posted by a woman, I'd be like, yeah, this is a green flag. I'm like, okay.
This is a green flag.
I think it's the thing in writing that would make it a deal breaker for me. But if they said it in person, I would be like, oh, you're dumb. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Camille Kostick, thank you so much for coming on. This was so fantastic.
Well, you guys are so fun. I've been, you know, I hear all about you. Your fan base is far and wide. So shout out to them. Thanks for having me on. You guys crush it.
That is way too kind.
That's amazing.
We've been following each other on Twitter for years, so it's finally great to like see you in Zoom person. But listen, everyone go follow Camille. She's fantastic. And watch Wipeout Thursday nights, TBS, 9 o'clock. And that's our episode. We solved dating again, right, Jordana?
We did it. Thank you so much. We'll see you on Sunday. Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.